Well, it is through the first Easter that we are forgiven of our sins. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means that the Bible says that it means that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in the Lord Jesus. No condemnation. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth that gives us great hope. We're going to be thinking a lot about hope today because Easter is the key to hope. You'll see on the inside of your service sheets, we've got an account of Jesus' resurrection. It's written by an eyewitness. I'm just going to read the first section, and then we'll think about why this hope of the resurrection is true, good, and available. So Easter is the key to hope. Let me read from John chapter 20. I'll go from verse 1 through to verse 10. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So do keep that open, and you'll see just some headings of where we're going today. The first thing about Easter that we need to understand is that Easter is the key to hope. The resurrection of Jesus is the key to hope, first of all, because it is true. It's true, it's good, and we can have this hope here and now. But let's start by thinking about why the hope of the resurrection is true. That's right. If you're new here today and you've maybe never thought about the claims of Christianity, what we're thinking about today is that we believe the hope of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, really happened. He really rose from the dead. How do we know something is true? Well, the first thing we can do is we can ask people who were there, can't we? So if we have a look at our reading, who was there? Well, in verse 1, we see that Mary Magdalene, she was the first one to see the empty tomb. It's significant for a couple of reasons, but a big one is that in the ancient world, women weren't thought to be trustworthy, purely because they were women. In the society that Jesus lived in, if two people were in court and it was one person's word against another's, if it was a woman versus a man, the man's word was counted as more acceptable than the woman's word. She would have been called a liar. She would have been said, she's been making it up purely because she's a woman. Now, that's terrible, isn't it? But it should make us think. If the followers of Jesus who wrote these things down for us, if they were trying to trick people, if they were making it up, why would they have said that Mary Magdalene was the first to get to the empty tomb? Surely they would have said that it's a very, very trustworthy man who we all know and trust. He was the first one to get there. But they don't say that, do they? They say that it is a woman. In a way, if they wanted this to be believable, they've just shot themselves in the foot, haven't they? That's the first reason we know that it's true, because we can see that the first person at the empty tomb was a woman. What does she do next? Well, we can see in verse 2, she runs straight away and tells Peter and the other disciple. This other disciple is likely John himself, the chap who wrote this book, the one that we read from. She says, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. And then verses 3 and 4, we see Peter and the other disciple, well, they sprint for the tomb. And I love this detail, if it is John who wrote this account, if it is John who's been told this here, he has to really include that oh, by the way, I beat Peter to the tomb. I was the one who outran Peter to this tomb. I love that detail. He's just really rubbing it in and bragging there. But we see something amazing, something incredible. And we want to tell people, don't we? Mary Magdalene has seen something that she can't believe. The tomb is empty. Now, for her, it seemed like a disaster, didn't it? But we can't help ourselves. If we see something amazing, something incredible, we do want to tell absolutely everyone, don't we? If it's made up, if it's not actually true, well, the urge to tell people just isn't quite there in the same way. If the tomb wasn't empty and the dead body of Jesus was just in the tomb, well, she wouldn't have run and told them that she'd found an empty tomb. She wouldn't have been so excited, and the disciples wouldn't have formed this group of people who went and told everyone they knew. They wouldn't have been excited about this thing, and they wouldn't have said that it's true. To illustrate this morning, we are going to have a bit of a competition. I'm in need of 3 volunteers who are willing to compete for glory for prize. They could do with being grown-up volunteers for this one. Grown-ups specifically who like cream eggs, Cadbury cream eggs. I've got a few here. Can I have 3 grown-up volunteers for this, please?
Do I like cream eggs?
Does Roger like cream eggs? Roger likes cream eggs. Thank you, Roger. I'm in need of two more volunteers. Is that Ruben Nodder who likes cream eggs? Do you like cream eggs? Thank you, Ruben. And just one other grown-up who likes cream eggs. Just need a grown-up who likes cream eggs. Just one more in the congregation. Maybe even Marcus Nodder likes cream eggs. Do you like cream eggs? Yes. Good stuff. Okay, there's one for you. One for you. And hold on to them just for a second. There's yours, Marcus. Now, the point of this is that we're going to have a competition. It's a cream egg eating competition. Now, it's not going to be a quantity competition. We're not going to see how many they can eat. We don't want any disasters of that kind. No, this is not going to be a quantity competition. It's going to be a quality competition. Who can eat the cream egg in the best and most creative way possible? You've got a moment just to think here. You've got a moment to think whilst I explain why we're doing this. So, this is going to be a quality competition. Who will eat it in the most exciting way? How will we judge the quality of this? Well, we'll judge it all together as who are we most likely to go home and tell everyone we know that we have seen a true creative genius at work. We've seen the most incredible eating of a cream egg. So you can have just a moment to think about this, okay? You see, Mary didn't just tell Peter and John. And Peter and John didn't just keep the empty tomb to themselves. It was the fastest, most widespread revolution that ever took place. That God took on flesh in Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life, and as he was put to death on the cross, he took the penalty for all our wrongdoing. He took all of our guilt, all of our shame upon himself, gave us his perfect righteousness instead. If we have faith in him, we're forgiven of all our sins. Death is defeated and we shall live eternally with God. It's the message of the empty tomb, the message that changed the world. It's the message that people were killed for. And we today have this true account of that life. So cream egg eaters, that's our goal. Global revolution from the most creative and exciting way to eat a cream egg. Thank you, cream egg volunteers, eaters. Now, I don't know how likely you are to tell absolutely everyone that you know that you saw what you witnessed today. Someone eating a cream egg while standing on their head. A pastor deceiving an entire church by not eating a cream egg. Reuben giving it a really good go. But this is part of why we know that the hope of the resurrection is true, because it was the fastest, most widespread news that has ever existed, a revolution that changed the entire world. The hope of the Lord Jesus Christ is true, and it's a wonderful reason to praise the Lord together. So we're going to stand and sing our next song. You'll see the next bit of our passage again from verse 11 on the inside of your service sheets. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Well, if we know that the resurrection, the empty tomb, is a true thing, why is it that as Christians we believe it is a good thing? The next bit of our passage, after the disciples have been in the empty tomb and seen the linens, the cloths that Jesus' body was wrapped in, they leave. But Mary is there, and she's weeping. She was expecting a dead body, expecting that the Savior who had healed her from demon possession would be lying there dead. And instead, there's an empty tomb. Nobody. And you can imagine her almost feeling that, well, if there is nobody, maybe one day I'll just even forget that this has even happened. It seems like some terrible crime has been committed here. A body stolen. We've got no significant tomb, no way of remembering Jesus, who we thought was the Savior. Was it all a dream? We thought he was the long-awaited Messiah. And now he's been killed, and now we have no way of remembering him. And she's weeping. She's sad about this. In verse 12, she sees two angels where Jesus was laid, and they ask her, why is she weeping? She's like, well, isn't it obvious that Jesus' body has been taken? It's a grave robbery. It's an empty tomb. Like, how don't you know this? And at the moment, Mary thinks that the empty tomb is bad news, that it's news of hopes being defeated and dashed. It would have been utterly terrible for her. In a slightly less terrible way of thinking about this, but still pretty interesting all the same, in my next bag of tricks, I've got an Easter egg. Who knows? Who has had an Easter egg this morning already? We did have asked a couple of people. There's been a few more since we arrived who've arrived. Were you late because you were having a bit of Easter egg? It's probably the case. Now, this Easter egg, it's a fun Easter egg. It's a Cadbury cream egg. It's one of my favorites, as I'm sure you've already realized. And if I was to just open up this Easter egg and to sort of eat it in front of you guys, you'll be able to see why I think this is quite a good illustration for what the empty tomb is signifying. Because as I've opened it, you can see it's not an Easter egg at all. It's empty. Can you just check if this is empty?
Yes, it's empty.
And there's nothing, no Easter egg in here?
Definitely no Easter egg.
no Easter egg at all. There's just an empty box and some dirty old wrapping. Someone has already eaten my Easter egg, it would seem. A disaster. Now, I'm pretty disappointed. I'm not quite weeping at how bad this is. But my hopes of having a tasty Easter egg and enjoying it in front of all of you are now dashed. Of course, the angels, they knew something that Mary didn't know. They knew something that it is not bad news. It's not an empty Easter egg box with no hope of an Easter egg. Because Mary turns round and she sees Jesus, doesn't she? Now, she doesn't initially recognize him. But he knows her, doesn't he? He calls her Mary. And she's like, wait, this isn't a gardener. This is Jesus. He isn't dead, but he is alive. Why is this such good news? Why does this give us hope as opposed to it being an empty Easter egg box of an Easter day? Well, it's because of what the empty tomb means. It means three quick things that the Bible tells us. It means that sin, our wrongdoing, is forgiven. That's what the empty tomb means. It means that death isn't the end. And this is because death is defeated. The Bible teaches us that each one of us are dead in our sins, in our wrongdoing. It's our natural state, and it's headed only one way. It's the consequence of going against God, of not loving and worshipping him. But because of the cross, because of Good Friday, because of Jesus dying in our place, he satisfied all the justice for our wrongdoing. And the resurrection confirms this. Because Jesus never sinned. He never sinned. He lived a completely perfect life. He didn't deserve death. And in fact, death, it couldn't contain him, could it? The resurrection shows that sins are forgiven because Jesus died in our place. And so if we trust in him, we can be forgiven. The resurrection gives us good hope as well, though, because it means that death isn't the end. Life doesn't end in an empty Easter egg box. If we trust in Jesus, we are described as joining him in his death, being given his perfect death. That means we can be raised, resurrected with him. Being given perfect death means that we're raised into new life. We spend all eternity with him. The empty tomb means that death is not the end. So anyone who has faith in Christ will be raised with him. It's because, and this thirdly is because death was defeated by Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Death was defeated by Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. I've heard it told like this before. If you imagine a town that next to this village is a big, scary, dark cave. There's this big, scary, dark cave next to this village. And in the big, scary, dark cave lives a big, scary bear. And this big, scary bear has been scaring these poor villagers as long as anyone can remember. The very oldest person in the village can't remember a time where they weren't scared by the big, scary bear. It was just a part of everyday life. Plan a birthday party, the big scary bear is going to come up and scare everybody away. Have any sort of fun, and the big scary bear is going to come in and steal and be scary and mean. It was ruining everyday life and every good thing. And everyone in the village was terrified of the big scary bear that lived in the big scary cave. Until one day, where someone from the village who had never been scared of the bear, someone from the village who had never been terrified of the bear, said, you know what, enough is enough, and I will go into the big scary cave to defeat the big scary bear. And the whole village just watches in amazement this brave person going in to defeat the bear. They all watch in amazement and thinking, well, this could be the end of our brave friend. How will we know if he's defeated the big scary bear? How would the villagers know who the winner is if their brave friend has gone to defeat the big scary bear? They'll only know by whoever walks out of the big scary cave. That's how they'll know the victor. And so that's how we know that Jesus is victorious over death. He walked out of the tomb, like the brave friend who walked out of the defeated big scary cave of the big scary bear. The Lord Jesus walked out of the tomb, victorious, our substitute in our place, death defeated. And no doubt, every single one of those villagers next to the big scary cave would have rejoiced as their brave friend walked out of the cave. And that's the good news, is that we rejoice because the Lord Jesus Christ has walked out of death, out of the tomb, and we can join him in that. So we too can rejoice. Let's stand together and praise him in our next song. We've seen hope that is true, hope that is good, and now we have hope that is available. Read with me, or just look with me down at verses 17 through to 18. I'll read it for us. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Hope that is available then. Who here likes mini eggs? The straight up there, Sarah. it's a favorite in the Elwood household. You like mini eggs? I like mini eggs. I want to see just who does like mini eggs. Okay, probably a majority. We can all agree that they are favorites, aren't they? Mini eggs, we can agree that even if you maybe don't even really like chocolate, the mini egg is still up there as one of the very best. They're good, aren't they? Now, if I told you that we've enough mini eggs for everyone to have some today, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? It would be incredible that everyone will have some mini eggs today. Wouldn't that be the best? Now, if I told you to have a look at what's under your seat right now, how are you going to react? Have a look under your seat. There's some confusion. Is there a bit of disappointment? There's not mini eggs under your seat. I know. Awful, isn't it? A devastating, devastating dashed hope. There are no mini eggs under your seats. Mini eggs are true and good things, and we may love them very, very much, but they're no use if we can't have them. I imagine we're all pretty devastated about that. There's not much hope. There's not much point having a hope that is maybe true, maybe good, if we can't have it. It's terrible. And we see that in our passage now. Mary is told not to cling to Jesus. And, I mean, for one thing, it's incredible, isn't it, that Jesus rose from the dead and it's possible for her to cling onto him. He can be touched by Mary, not just seen, but is there truly with her. Many religions in the world have all sorts of gods that are distant and untouchable. The Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, can be touched by Mary. She's told something strange. Jesus says that he is yet to ascend to be with his Father. Don't cling to me. He's yet to go up and reign over all with his Father. Essentially saying, don't hold on to me because I'm with you. And as soon as I will ascend to be with the Father, you might think at that point, well, Mary would just cling on even tighter. But that's the point. In ascending and going to be with the Father, Jesus is more available than he has ever been. He's more available. And so she says to the disciples and Jesus' followers, I have seen the Lord. Jesus resurrected. He goes to ascend to be with the Father. And the risen Jesus now rules and reigns today over all people. That's right. And we, each of us, can have him. Jesus left this earth, left us with God the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to have any distance from Jesus now, but in fact, we can have him living in us by his Spirit. Think about the difference between this and every other way of looking at the world. If we are an atheist, then our hope is at best something that we make ourselves. Any sort of hope is what you can create, meaning out of life. If we're a Muslim, then our hope is that our good deeds, our good actions, outweigh our bad ones. And so we hope that when we die, our good ones will outweigh our bad ones. No other religion, no other view of the world says that you can have God himself, who is true, the true hope, God himself, who is the good hope, living in you, a hope that you can have, hope that defeated death, walked out of the tomb, hope that paid the price for sin, hope that really did happen. And this hope is available to each one of us today. Now, it's not a false hope. It's not an empty promise of mini eggs under a chair. It's not an empty promise. It's not a misleading hope. It's not a hope that places a burden upon you of being good enough, because we will never be good enough. But the hope says that if we believe, have faith in him, if we repent, which means turn from going our own way, and live in light of this hope, live as Jesus would have us live, have faith in him, repent for our sins, then death is not the end for us. We can have a hope in Jesus that we will be resurrected to enjoy all eternity with him. It's a true hope. It's a good hope. And it's a hope that is available to each one of us today. We're shortly going to continue our service in prayer. Before we do that, just take a moment and think about hope yourself. Where do you look for hope? What might be stopping you from placing your hope in Jesus? Do you believe that this is true hope that is good and available to you? Maybe it's the very first time that you've ever thought about these things. We'd love to invite you to explore these questions more. We're doing a course called Hope Explored. It's starting in a couple of weeks' time. Do email us and get details for that. It's on the back of your service sheet as well. But in a moment, just in the quiet of our hearts, let's just consider this hope of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, this Easter hope.